Hey guys, it's Lena here, and we are actually in our last of 10 lessons on 10 areas I need help with this year. It's the podcast series that I've been teaching and just really enjoying and loving, and I've heard from many of you about various situations in your life and have been praying for you and just excited to see how God will continue to use these lessons that we've looked at from God's Word. If you're not familiar with this ministry, I run a ministry called Living with Power Ministries. It's you can find a lot about it on my website, livingwithpower.org. That's LIVINGWITHPOWER.ORG, Living with Power. And I'm Lebanese. My accent, 10 weeks into this, you're probably like, where is she from? And you might have a list of countries that you have wondered about my country of origin, but it is Lebanese. I'm from Lebanon, and moved to Green Bay, Wisconsin, which pretty much kind of messes me up completely, and now live in Chicago and love teaching God's Word. My day job is in a pediatric emergency room, and my calling is to teach God's Word in any way or fashion that God opens a way for me to do so. And so the podcast is just one way that I do it, and I love doing it. I love the kind of the virtual relationship that we have with each other. And today I want us to focus on this concept of I need help for more patience. And if you know me by now, of course you've been listening to me teach, you can tell I am not one to waste a lot of time. I speak fast, I give a lot of information, and I am not very patient. And so this lesson, again, is near and dear to my heart, and it is something that God has worked over. I'm 42, I'll be 43 in April, and God has used every single day of my life to grow me in the area of patience. I remember when I was just a kid, maybe in, I don't know, fourth or fifth grade, my teacher wrote the end of the year comment, and this is what she said about me: Lena needs to take time to smell the roses. And she loved me, the teacher. I remember we had a great relationship, but that was the negative that she put there, or the kind of the instructive sentence. And I laughed to myself, because now, 40 years later, I would say that's still the same thing that I need to continue to learn. And so when it comes to God and His ways, patience is the way it works. And so I want to read you just a few verses. How about we focus in on the fruit of the Spirit? If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit lives in you. That is a fact, and we need the Holy Spirit to teach us. In fact, when we open His Word and read it, the difference between a Bible and every other book is that it is a book that is alive, made alive by the Holy Spirit, that gives us the ability to understand it and to obey it. And so listen to Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. It says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. But these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things that you want to do." So it goes on to list the works of the flesh, and there's a lot of them: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, etc., etc. "I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace," and now our magic word for the week, patience. Patience, patience, patience. The last fruit of the Spirit is self-control. You need self-control to exemplify patience. And, of course, the reminder that we have crucified the flesh, we live by the Spirit. Now listen to Hebrews chapter 11 to chapter 10, verse 35. It says, "Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay, but my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls." Guys, we are not going to shrink back. We are going to grow in patience. If you want to be obedient to the Lord, if you want to live in His ways, then we need to learn this. This is not negotiable. And so let's focus on four questions like I do every week. And here's the first. How can I tell I'm impatient? You're like, well, you can just ask my friends. You can just watch me. It is evident to most of us, but in case you're wondering, what does it look like? I try to take matters in my own hands. So you're the person, like you're at the airport, they announce the flight delay, and instead of just sitting there waiting, drinking your coffee like most normal people do, you're like the one who gets up and wants to talk to the flight person and wants to come up with plan B and C and D and E. You're the person in the customer service line who's arguing about the number that you pulled from the little machine. And, you know, you're that person who just got to fix things and take things into your own hands, and you cannot wait for things to unfold. And some of you are like, well, isn't that the way that we should be? Because the squeaky wheel gets heard the most, and whatever that expression is. And listen, there's a limit to it. And if you come to God with that same attitude, I guarantee you, you are frustrated and unhappy in your Christian life, because God's ways are the opposite of that. He wants you to trust Him. And you can tell you're impatient when you're constantly trying to control the situation. Or here's another way, you not just try to take matters into your own hands, but you feel depressed and discouraged when things don't happen when you want them to. Instead of just feeling like, okay, I'm going to take it in stride and see the positive in this, you just get really discouraged by it. And I've spent a lot of time in that pit, I guess you can call it the pit of despair or the pit of self-pity, or, you know, God doesn't answer you the way that you want Him to in the timing that you want Him to. And so next thing you know, you're like in a pit of hell. You're depressed. You're discouraged. You're not even sure God is real. You're like, God, are you even there? And you go from A to Z. Like, how did that happen? He's the one who died for your sins. You've given Him your life. And now you're just like, I'm not sure He's even real, because you have a prayer request that He hasn't answered you. It's so ridiculous when you really think about it, isn't it? Or how can I tell I'm impatient? Here's a third symptom. I sin when I don't get what I want. You know, we've talked in the past week so much about this concept that sin, in essence, has to do with trust. Do you believe that God is for you? Do you believe that He has your best in mind? The minute you stop believing it, and so no greater opportunity for us to doubt God than in times of delays and in times of waiting. And yet that is the time when we are going to be tempted to sin. So you don't get what you want, and so you figure, I'll take it in my own hands, and you turn to sin to satisfy you. Unfulfilled longings are just a huge opportunity for us to reveal our trust in a God who will meet every longing. And instead of turning to things that numb us and might appease us for the moment but then leave us empty, may we begin to become people who turn to God to meet us. And so how can I tell them I've got a problem with patience? Here's a fourth symptom. I'm generally unhappy with my life as it stands today. I don't know if that exemplifies you, but we believe that without that thing that we're waiting for, we are not going to be truly happy. And can I speak to singles for a minute? This is very easy to preach to singles, to myself included, because we think, man, if I don't get married, I'll never be happy. Well, be patient. God may still have someone for you, or not. I don't know. I'm not going to tell you a lie. However, if you are resigned to unhappiness today, perhaps you have a problem with patience. And my mom takes great joy in sending me every internet article that she can find on people who found their true love after age 90. And I'm always laughing about it, because I think, Mom, really, like, I don't think if I make it to 90, I'm going to have any interest in dating, but one never knows. And why don't we move to the second point here and talk about why do I lose patience? And I've kind of danced around that a bit, but let's focus in a bit more. Why don't we look at Exodus chapter 32 as a great example? The people of Israel lost patience with God and with Moses. And so in verse 1, and this is the incident of the golden calf. If you know anything about the Israelites and their history, they left Egypt led by Moses after the plagues, and they walked through the Red Sea. They saw God do awesome things. They received manna from God day after day after day, and instead of being grateful, they couldn't even see what was before them. They constantly complained about what they didn't have, and for 40 days, Moses went up to the mountain to get the Ten Commandments. God was speaking to him face to face. He wrote down the Ten Commandments, God did, on tablets of stone, and while he was up there, here's what happened. Verse 1, when the people saw that Moses delayed, and they're in the waiting, that's a place many of you are living today. And I don't know what areas in your life, but for them, they saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain. What did they do? The people gathered themselves together to Aaron and said to him, up, make us gods who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. So Aaron said to them, take off the rings of gold that are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me. So they turned to sin. Remember, I just told you about how if you don't get what you wanted, you're bound to turn to sin. This is what they did. They built an altar. And so he received the gold from their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool and made a golden calf. And they said, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. When Aaron saw this, he built an altar before forth. And Aaron made proclamations and said, tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord. And how ignorant and sad this is, because Aaron brings in God to the equation. God has nothing to do with this. This is pure self-willed, self-serving sin. They rose up early in the morning and burnt offerings were offered. And the Lord said to Moses, go down, for your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way that I commanded them. And how quick we forget all that God has done for us. How quick we turn to our idols. Why do I lose patience? Because I don't have a clue who God is and I don't trust who He is. I want what I want and I want it right now. And I'll do anything to get it. And the minute you stop trusting God for your future and your best, you're going to do the same thing that they do and build an idol at the feet of whatever God that you're worshiping. God says, I've seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. And it's an awful encounter that happens. Moses implored the Lord in verse 11 and says, O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt? He says, turn from your anger and relent from this disaster. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants. We serve a covenant God. And Moses appeals to God based on the covenant. Of course, God does relent. In verse 14, the Lord relented from the disaster that He had spoken of bringing on His people. So Moses turns and goes down, and he sees the sin, and he's disgusted. And he says, and he says, the tablets were the work of God, and the writing. Hang on, let me see where I'm going to. It says, when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said to Moses, there's a noise of war in the camp. It was not a noise of war. It was a noise of worshiping a false god. And in verse 18, Moses says, it is not the sound of shouting for victory or the sound of cry of defeat, but the sound of singing that I hear. And as soon as he came near the camp and saw the calf and the dancing, Moses' anger burned hot, and he threw the tablets out of his hand and broke them at the foot of the mountain. He took the calf that they had made and burned it with fire and ground it to powder and scattered it on the water and made the people of Israel drink it. He goes on later and says, he asks for anybody who's on the Lord's side. He says, who's on the Lord's side, come to me. And 32,000 people fell that day. And later on, a plague would come. And God said, you guys go on. I'm not going with you. And of course, that leads up to the encounter where Moses says to God, I won't go. I won't go if you don't go with us. I'd rather die than if you don't go with us. And the people of Israel, of course, repent. And it's a little too little, a little too late, but God in His mercy does forgive them. And the whole story is all, I mean, you take the time and read Exodus 32 through 33, and your heart will break over what the people of Israel did and how this whole thing and how it led into another 40 years in the wilderness. And now think about your life and mine. Why do I lose patience? I want what I want, and I want it right now. I forget God's ways and His blessings. I focus on what I don't have. It becomes so important to me that I'll do anything in my power to get it, even sin against God, the one who gave me my life to begin with. So number three question, how does God develop patience in me? We know we have a serious problem if you have a problem with patience. It is an issue of your trust or lack of trust in God. It is an issue of control, of you taking matters in your own hands. You've given your life to God. You've trusted your eternity with Him, and yet you cannot trust your desires with Him. It makes no sense, and yet daily I struggle with the same thing as you do. So how does God develop patience in me? Easy. He does it through delays. He does it through the drought, and He does it through difficulties. He uses the wilderness to teach us patience. This is critical. Deuteronomy chapter 8. I've got it. You guys, you've got to listen to this. I'm serious. I know this is a lot of Bible. Some of you, you haven't heard these stories before. You haven't heard this much Bible read before. I don't know. I'm just telling you, you've got to know the truth about patience and our need for it. This is nothing that we can take lightly. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, I think I've read this earlier in the series, but it says in verse 2, you shall remember the whole way. This is God speaking to the people of Israel through Moses. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that He might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart. The wilderness is meant to test you. Some of you are in the wilderness of waiting right now. It's not a punishment. God is teaching you. Listen, go on to read this. It says, whether you would keep His commandments or not, and He humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that He might make you to know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Now, go with me to Matthew 4 real quick. Jesus in the wilderness. By the way, you may think, I hate the wilderness. It's a punishment from God. Listen to Matthew chapter 3, the last verse. It says, behold, a voice from heaven. Jesus was just baptized. And this is the height of God's pleasure. Jesus goes, he gets baptized, he comes out of the water, a dove comes and rests on him. In chapter 3 of Matthew, verse 17, behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. You say, what happens to the person with whom God is well pleased? Chapter 4 of Matthew, verse 1, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. This is a man that God is pleased with. This is the Son of God. Greatest moment of his life. He gets, not me, one of the greatest moments, but he's baptized. The dove is on him. This is a sign. This is the Son of God. He says, I'm well pleased with him. The very next verse, he's being sent into the wilderness. We look at the wilderness as a place of punishment, when in fact it is a place of testing to know what is in our heart, to for us, an opportunity for us to exemplify our trust in God. And many of us, we miss it. And over again, God puts us in the valley of waiting, in the wilderness of waiting. He brings delays in our life. He brings the drought and the difficulties and the trials in our life to grow us in faith, to help us have an opportunity to celebrate who he is. And instead, we turn over and over and over again to the idols in our life, and we feed ourselves on ashes. And Isaiah talks about idols being like ashes. And I'm telling you, I've been there. I hate that place. And you always come out of it dissatisfied and miserable. And when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, of course, the tempter came and said to him, after 40 days and 40 nights of fasting, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. And listen to what Jesus said, the same words that I just read you in Deuteronomy. He says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Are you in the wilderness of waiting right now? How does God develop your patience? He does it in the wilderness. He does it by putting you in a place where you have need. And in your need, you have a choice. Will you feed on the Lord or you feed on ashes? And your decision in that moment will reveal what's in your heart. Who are you worshiping? Do you need more patience in your life? Or do you need more trust in God? So what do I do now? Let's finish up this thought and this theory series with, what do I do now? You know, every week when we've talked about the issues, I think we all intuitively know. I mean, the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. I know that I'm impatient. And it reveals itself by my lashing out at others, by my pressing others. I see how I drive, how I think, how I talk. And God is teaching me that the way of the Holy Spirit and the way of godliness is in waiting. And is in trusting. Isaiah 30 verse 15, it is in quietness and in trust that will be your strength. And I love Romans 15. Let me read you a couple of verses here at the beginning. In verse 4, it says, for whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is awesome. God has given us the scripture, the examples of people in scripture. James, in the book of James, in the New Testament, Job is given as an example of perseverance. Man, he sticks out in the Old Testament, but the examples are abundant. Go to Hebrews 11 and read the people of faith, starting from Abraham and Noah. And Noah, man, he had to build an ark and wait on the Lord. They'd never seen rain. And he had to wait on God's promise and trust God. And Abraham waited to have a baby until they were past age. Romans 4 is an amazing chapter that talks about how he believed in hope against hope. But you go on and on of example of Joseph in the prison and Daniel in Persia and Babylon and on and on and on. And Rahab and Ruth and I can't even, my mind is just filled with wonder at God and his ways, and yet I catch myself impatient over and over again. And so what do I do now? Figure out where your need to repent is. What are you doing with your impatience? Are you turning to sin? Do you need to confess your sin before God? Have you lost your first love and revelation? You know, I'm so passionate about the Lord. One of the things that I pray for on a regular basis is that I don't stray from the love that God has put in my heart for him. And we're told in Revelation chapter 2 that the church in Ephesus, I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary, but I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love that you had at first. You might be waiting, but you might be miserable in your waiting. Listen, remember therefore from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. Listen, God wants us to have a burning passion and zeal for him. He's given us his life through Jesus Christ. He died for us, took our sin on him so that we would have life. And we go through seasons of waiting simply to for us to express our worship and our love for. You want to know that the most painful thing about the story of the Israelites building the calf, the golden calf, in Exodus 32? If you go back to that section, and I got to do this. I wrote this in my book. I think it's in Thrive when I talk about idolatry. But if you go back to the last verse before Exodus 32. In Exodus 31, verse 18, it says, God gave to Moses, when he had finished speaking with him on the Mount Sinai, the two tablets of the testimony, the tablets of stone written with the finger of God. Moses was on the way down. 40 days into this process, the people of Israel said, enough, we're not going to wait on God. Moses was done. He had the tablets. He was on the way down from the mountain. Oh, what if they had waited just another day? Oh, they would have gone into the promised land 40 years sooner. Think about it. Think about all of the pain they would have been spared. Many of you are suffering the consequences of your impatience. You have baggage. And listen, God will redeem it. He'll redeem the year of the locusts, is how it's said in the Old Testament. I love that concept because God wants to redeem your past and your mistakes. But figure out where you need to repent and do it today. Ask God to forgive you in your impatience and in your bent towards sin and your idolatry. And then number two, focus on what God has already done. The people of Israel missed it. God was doing things in their midst, left and right, and they missed it. All their eyes were focused on was the thing they did not have. Jesus understood it so well. He's our perfect Savior. He lived and went through this wilderness and was tempted. And in his point of need, instead of focusing on the fact that he was hungry, he focused on the fact that the bread of life, by the way, you fight it with Scripture. And he quoted the Old Testament. And if you want to fight the battle of faith, you better start getting the Word of God in you and using it in your battle against the evil one. So figure out where you need to repent. Focus on what God has done. Feed yourself the truth of God's Word. Feed it. Feed on it. Study the scriptural examples like we're told in Romans. Stop asking, why me? Why me? Why me? Start asking God, what do you want me to do in this wilderness? And by the way, do you know that your days in the wilderness, God will use them to bless somebody else? The same, you know how he gives us the examples of Scripture? Here's a great verse, and I promise I'm coming to the end here. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, this is after listing all of the people in Hebrews 11, people of faith, he says, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. But in that verse, what's saying is we're going to be following them so that we are part of the race. And think about it. Somebody's going to come after you who's going to be looking at your story and your example. Listen, someone could be right now in your life looking at your life and example. And how you respond to the waiting is speaking volumes about your God. And so what do people think about your God, Jesus Christ, when they look at your life and how you respond in the waiting? So feed yourself on the truth. Fix your mind on God's promises. Psalms 27, the last two verses have long been a source of encouragement to me. It says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage. Wait, I say, on the Lord. This is from the New King James Version. I love that way that it says it. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. It goes back to faith. Do you believe God is who he says he is? Do you believe God is going to do what he says he's going to do? And if you do, then rejoice, my friend, rejoice in the waiting. There's no better place to be than waiting for God to show up, and he will. And so, this is the end of our 10-week series. I really want to do a couple more. I want to talk about, I need help with my insecurity, and I wanted to do one. I need help over perfectionism, but we're going to have to live with some blog posts on that, because next week, I think I'm going to start next week a series in the Gospel of Mark. We're going to go through the book of the Bible, which is how I love to teach God's Word. Listen, if you can't tell, I am really, really loving doing these podcasts. I love God's Word. I get so excited when I talk about His ways, and I hope that you're feeling it, and I hope more than that, that you have the same kind of love and excitement to the Lord, and I pray that you are drawn closer to Him every single day of your life. Hey, tune in to more information and resources on the website livingwithpower.org. Email me. I would love to hear from you, lena@livingwithpower.org. We have so many things that we want to share with you, and most importantly, know that we are praying for you. The Ministry of Living Power is praying for you. I am praying for you, and I love you, and I'm walking this journey with you. So I'll see you next week. Hang in there and rejoice in the Lord. This is the day He's made. It is a good day, and I'll catch you later. Bye.